Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hello. How are we doing today on this fine Wednesday? First of all, you're welcome, Yankee fans. I'm convinced that yesterday you and I saying, boy, it's mysterious. The Yankees haven't talked in a week. Well, guess what? They're going to talk tomorrow. So we may have had something to do with that. Even if we didn't, you're welcome anyway.
Right.
That's the way I look at it.
We prepped you for it.
We got you ready. More on that and more on what Brian Cashman needs to answer a little bit later on in the program, plus the debut of a brand new game called Which Aged Worse, and were the Jets actually better off keeping Aaron Rodgers? But I start with this, Teague. At the beginning of a football season, we all have expectations.
Yes.
And it is totally normal for those expectations and views of a football team to change as the weeks go on. I'll give you an example. As a Jet fan, I thought they'd be in the mix. I thought they'd be a 6-7-8 win team. I thought they'd be in the hunt. I am wrong, and my expectations for this Jet season has completely changed. They suck. They may be the worst Jet team I've ever seen. When it comes to the Giants, it's a little bit more complicated. They are 2-4. They're trending the right way. But more importantly, the Jackson Dart era has arrived, which I'm not sure we were positive was going to happen this quickly.
Yeah, you and I thought it shouldn't happen this quickly.
No doubt.
Let Russell Wilson take the lumps or win games or whatever the heck it may be. Let Jackson Dart sit and learn and eventually take the helm at some point in the future.
And obviously that didn't happen. He's been the starting quarterback for 3 weeks. The Giants have won two of those games, and those two wins are against pretty good teams, despite their recent struggles like the Eagles and the Chargers. So I have gotten the vibe around town that the expectations and the belief in the Giants have changed dramatically over the last few weeks. I can only speak for myself. I'm in the same place. Like, to me, they're a more talented team than they were a year ago. I feel good about their future with Jackson Dart as quarterback, but I still kind of sense they're a 5-win team that's not really going to be in a playoff race. I will give you this caveat, though, Teague, because I'm open-minded and I can see the future. If somehow the Giants go to Denver on Sunday, and I don't think they will, but let's just say they go to Denver on Sunday and somehow survive the thin air, survive that kick-ass defense, and they somehow escape with a victory and they're a 3-4 team going into their rematch with the Eagles, then I will raise my hand and say, wow, this entire season is different. Yeah. But for now, for me at least, and I'm curious how the Giant fan feels, I still kind of have that same, they're a 5-win team vibe.
Well, I think the expectation has certainly shifted. One, because you're not going into every game like we were a year ago, especially at the end when guys were beat up, saying this is not a professional football team. This is a bunch of, you know, maybe backups that are trying to masquerade as a professional team, and they're not competitive on Sundays. You know this Giant team is going to be competitive this year. And whether it's offensively, Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo, or defensively, Brian Burns and all those guys getting after the quarterback, you know that they're going to be competitive. But I think the thing that is still waiting for us to, I don't know, fully grasp is, can this team consistently beat good teams and be in games like that? And so, because we saw this against a bad team, against the Saints. We saw them revert to crap. You know what I mean? It was, and it felt like it was like that.
Rookie's rookie.
Yeah, rookie's rookie. Or, you know, you get beat on a 87-yard touchdown pass when you, I don't know, misplay or misread a defense or misplay a defense, whatever it may be, what that Tyler Newbin did when he got beat. And so, like, the consistency's not fully there yet. But you bring up an interesting point about this week, because Denver is tough.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the team. Vance Joseph is awesome. But Denver, we took the high altitude, and it's not necessarily, oh, I can't breathe. It's too high altitude. That's not what it is. It's your body doesn't process oxygen or there's not enough oxygen for your body to process, and so you're always dehydrated. Like, I remember playing games up there, and I couldn't drink enough water, and it was almost like I need the O in the H2O to make myself feel better,
right?
And it just it never felt like I could get fully, I don't know, replenished. And so you're physically challenged. You're mentally challenged because of what Vance Joseph is going to do or Sean Payton's going to do. And they happen to be a really good team,
yes,
especially at home. And so,
especially on defense.
Exactly. So if they find a way to rock fight this thing to a 9-6 win.
Game changer.
You know what I'm saying now?
What?
I'm saying this team has the character to fight any adversity.
Absolutely.
Physical, mental, whatever. They're not shying away from their moments. And so I need to see that because right now I'm with you. It's like, man, the expectation has changed. I expect Jackson Dart to be good. I expect this defense to be good. But do it in a hostile, really tough environment to play against a really good team. One of the best defenses in the National Football League right now.
Yeah, and I don't want to take anyone to think I'm minimizing what they did against the Eagles last week. That was a great victory. But unless, The Eagles are flawed. And unless you're the Jets, you will find ways to win games here and there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Even the Titans found a miraculous way to win a football game 2 weeks
ago.
Thanks
to the Cardinals' incompetence.
You're right, but that's a part of it. That's a part of this game, part of this sport. So I don't want to take away what they did against Philadelphia because they ended up kicking that ass, or even what they did against the Chargers 3 weeks ago, two weeks earlier. But I guess for me, as a skeptic, call me a giant skeptic, is I just need to see more. Because what I can't forget about, as good as the Eagle win was and as good as the Charger win was, what happened in New Orleans.
Yeah.
What happened in New Orleans is why I still sit here in the middle of October and say, yeah, there's more excitement because of the young quarterback, but they're the same team that's going to find a way to lose 11 or 12 games.
Look, the Giants are not in a playoff conversation yet.
I mean, not yet.
If they win another game, we'll start saying that because there'll be a lot of three-win teams that are still hanging around. But if the Giants start playing well, win this game in Denver, do whatever they do and beat Philly again, and all of a sudden, come December, you're saying, man, this Giants team might make the playoffs. They're going to rue the Saints game.
Oh, absolutely. You look back at that.
That's the one you're going to look back
on. And I wouldn't even say the Dallas game, because you know why? I think I would look at the first three losses against Washington, Dallas, and Kansas City and just say it was the PJ era. It was pre-Jackson Dart. And any little thing that changed in one of those three games could very well have changed the decision to go to Jackson Dart. Like, if they beat the Dallas Cowboys in week two, I'm not sure they're making a change in week four. So I would exclude those games as the games I rue.
Right.
The Saint game you're spot on about.
Because that's the one that just frustrates you when you think about
it. Well, for me at least, I'm one person, and we'll hear from Giant fans 888-808-1019, and I'm being an IFO when I say this. That's the game that keeps me away from joining the full-fledged excitement that other Giant fans have. I can't get that out of my head before I just say, oh, yeah, they're going to win eight games.
Right.
They're going to win nine games. Dare I say they're a playoff team. Now, I admit,
I'm not there yet.
I'm not there yet either. And you laid out the challenges of Denver. First of all, and don't even think about the Jets, because I don't even want to use that game as a reason, because the Jets are an embarrassment to football. But
hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Talent-wise, I think they've got 10 different guys who've registered a sack this season. They are a deep team that can get to the quarterback.
The Denver Broncos.
And
yes, they are talented. It's also schemed.
Yeah, Vance Joseph is damn
so
good.
So it's like, all right, you're damned if you do. Like, if you block up the scheme, you're damned if you don't.
So
there's no scheme because those guys are just good.
You're right. So a part of me thinks, wow, if they could go to Denver with a rookie quarterback and beat that team, that changes everything. So I'm still in that. They're 2-4. It was a great win against the Eagles. Good for you. Nothing's changed for me. They're a 5-win team.
Yeah.
And the questions on Dable's future still remains. And that's the other thing that's weird about the Giant vibe going on. Like, the Giants overall have a really good vibe. One of the best vibes they've had in a while.
Agreed.
And yet, the head coach is on the hot seat. It's rare that you have a good positive vibe around the franchise with that looming cloud of they need to win a certain amount of games for the head coach to keep his job.
It's a weird oxymoron with this team.
Yeah.
Because you know that they're better and the optimism is truly there. It's not fake.
Right.
It's not media or fans manufacturing it. It's real. Like, you know it's real because you've seen it. You see it play out against two big wins that they had against the Eagles and the Chargers. But there's also this reality that if they don't win, Dave's going to be in trouble.
Correct.
And it's weird to think that way.
And if you look, and I know I said this a lot before the season, but this is a part of why I thought the Giants were an 11-loss, 12-loss team. The schedule continues to be really tough. And if you look at this game in Denver and next week in Philly and the Niners and even the Bears who are playing well, the New York Giants, I look at this schedule, I don't see them being favorites in any game. Like, literally. I'm just being honest. Like, they're underdogs by a touchdown against Denver.
Yeah, I don't think that matters anymore.
It doesn't matter in terms of, like, can they win a game, but in terms of winning enough games, it shows you that while they're better.
But that'll slip. If they find a way to win another one of these not supposed to win against a good team games. Could be Denver, could be somebody else. If they find a way to do that, I think they'll start being less big underdogs.
Well, yeah, because they would be winning more games. Like, right. I'm agreeing with you, but are they going to win those games? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That's the challenge. But I look at the schedule right now, and other than you want to tell me in Vegas, week 17, like, they are underdogs by a pretty good number in just about every one of these games. Like, they're a touchdown underdog against Denver. The line against Philly, no matter what the Eagles even do against the Vikings, is going to be 9-10 points.
It's already 7.5 right now.
It's only 7.5.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by that. So the line in Denver is the same as the line in Philadelphia. I find that surprising. But hey, I guess you're right. It could change. It could get even better. You look at home against the Niners, that could be favorites in that game. At Chicago, that could be favorites in that game. Home against the Packers, that could be favorites in that game. And that's why I'm still skeptical. Like, I'm happy for you, and I don't want to minimize anything about those wins against the Chargers and the Eagles, because both those wins are badass.
Huge.
Like, literally, there's nothing to take away from
it. But they're also at home.
They're at home. You're right. And this is the challenge of doing it on the road. So you're kind of with me that it's better, the vibes are better.
No, the vibes are definitely better.
But you still feel the same way about that.
Well, I hate to be this guy, because I know that there is so much optimism from Giant fans. But it is... Still prove it to me.
I agree.
You still got to show me.
I agree.
I am not giving anyone, Dave's, Jackson Dart as a rookie, not in his future, but just as a rookie, any of those guys the benefit of the doubt until I see it consistently.
I agree, because they are likelier than not to be a 2-6 team going into their game against San Francisco. That is the likeliest scenario that's who they are. Now, Sean, you cried last week.
Yes.
So I assume that those tears have led to a new belief and a new confidence. Has your belief in this team changed?
Well, I mean, I think that's a convoluted question. The belief in, do I think this is a playoff team? No. And I didn't feel that way when I was crying tears of joy. But do I think that we've at least graduated to the point where I have no idea what the hell is going to happen on Sunday, where I used to know what the hell was going to happen on Sunday. So I'm just taking that. That is my honest feeling on this. And I'm accepting that. I'm accepting that this is still a rookie quarterback who lost his top receiver for the year and that he's going to have mistakes. And he's probably going to throw a couple picks like he did in New Orleans at some point, if not this week, versus a great defense. But what is giving me more hope and optimism isn't just the vibe and the energy. It's that, man, when they lost that game in New Orleans, you had an embarrassing quarterback like Spencer Rattler call out the defense of the New York Giants all week long saying they disguised nothing. And then the Giants had some kind of players meeting with Shane Bowen, and suddenly the defense looked completely different with Philadelphia.
Right.
And while everything has been sexy in talking about Cam Scadaboo and talking about Jackson Dart, the real reason this Giant team can change and can win these games, and what's given me real optimism is, man, they play defense like that, like they did versus the Philadelphia Eagles, versus teams that have worst offenses like the Denver Broncos. That is how the pendulum can start to swing for this Giant team. So I don't know if they're going to win Sunday, but if they do, I think it's going to have a lot to do with the growth of this defense now, more so than the talking points about the quarterback and star running back.
It's actually well said that we would go into Sundays knowing the deal. They're going to get their ass kicked. Yeah. It's probably going to be embarrassing.
Unless they get lucky.
That's like where we are as Jet fans. Like, yes. We go in every Sunday like, yeah, we're going to lose. Just a matter of what embarrassing thing is going to happen. You're now going into Sundays with a, hey, you never know.
Right.
You got that you never know feel to it. And I buy that. And I think that is a major step up from what we've seen the last couple of years. But I think at the end of the day, because we always sit here in August and early September and say, hey, how many wins is this team going to have? Mm-hmm. How many wins is that team going to have? And we know that there are going to be bumps along the way. There are going to be weird roller coaster rides along the way. But what number are they going to get to?
Yeah.
And as we sit here at 2-4, I still think that number is 5.
Well, there needs to be a critical mass of players on that team that you know what you're getting every single Sunday. You know. I remember when I found this, and I felt it in myself, where I knew that my teammates could count on me doing X, Y, or Z
right
every Sunday. And there was a point where there was a whole bunch of us. I knew that David Deal. I knew that Richie Soyberg. I knew that Snee and O'Hara and Kareem McKinnon. I knew that they were all giving me the same thing every Sunday. And when you get that with enough of the team, then you know you can win. The Giants aren't quite there yet. I think they're getting there. But I need to see that I can get this every weekend, mostly from Jackson Dart. I think we're there with Andrew Thomas because he's proven it week in and week out. Maybe a little premature, but I'm going to say we're probably there with Cam because he's just who he is. He's going to grind himself into success, however he's going
to
do it.
Have we gotten to that point where you can just call him Cam? Like, there is still Cam Schlittler and Cam Thomas in this town.
Cameron. I'll call him Cameron.
You go Cameron?
He calls himself Cameron, by the way.
All right, so, fair enough.
Cameron Scataboo. I think I'm there with Brian Burns. Probably there with Dex, even though he got a slow start. But I'm going to say we're there with Dex. But who else is it?
Well, I'm there with, if you've mentioned his name, I apologize. My brain can somehow flicker out.
Uh-huh.
I'm there, and I've always been there when he's on the field with Andrew freaking Thomas.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's a beast right there.
So,
and he's going to probably have to challenge Nick Bedito on Sunday.
Right.
And how's that going to go? He made the last guy retire.
Yeah, I think he hasn't had a problem with anybody yet. So I think he'll be fine. But Nick usually lines up offensive right, so we'll see. But I think you need about 5 more guys before you can start saying, yeah, they can beat a good team on the road.
We'll get to your calls coming up, Giant fans. Has the vibe and expectations completely changed? Before we get to your Giant calls, there is Giant news. And luckily, there's an NFL Giant legend and a host of post and pre who can help me dissect this. And the guy who hosts not one, not two, but yeah, two, Giants podcasts in Sean Morash, who can help us dissect this. So here's the piece of news, and then explain it to me and everyone in the audience like we're 5. Are you ready? The Giants have restructured the contracts of Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland, creating just over $4 million in cap space for 2025. That is, of course, according to Field Yates, who does a great job covering the NFL for ESPN. What does this mean? What does it mean?
That means that they are clearing cap space. Salary cap, which is always fungible, as we all know.
Yes.
Cap space to acquire somebody else's contract.
Oh.
Now, they also filled their last 2 practice squad spots. Who was the one linebacker? I'm forgetting.
Jonas Griffith.
Jonas Griffith, who was formerly of the Denver Broncos. He was hurt multiple times. Same ACL. He did multiple ACL
23
injuries.
And 24, he tore ACLs.
Right, but he's of the Denver Broncos. So he's maybe familiar with what Vance Joseph likes to do.
Collect some info.
If you watch Vance Joseph defenses, there's a lot of messing around. We're going to double mug. We're going to drop those guys out. We're going to bring them sometimes. We're going to play cover zero. We're going to play one. We're going to play zone, all that stuff. And so maybe you get some intel. They also signed Juice Wells, who is a wide receiver, who is a rookie, played with Jackson Dart for their practice squad. So, but the main issue, restructuring the contract of those 2 free agents that they just brought in, is just to clear cap space because they're obviously signing somebody
else. So this is like when the Nets traded Alan Crabb and it created cap space to sign Kevin Durant?
Yes.
Is that the same
Something
thing,
similar,
Sean?
Yeah, but probably not as high-end as that.
Very similar. They're not getting KD. And make no mistake, the Giants still needed some cap space to regularly play the game the rest of the year with the back and forth. They didn't need nearly $5 million in cap space.
So a trade is coming, is what you guys are reporting.
Look, when there's enough smoke, there's fire. The Giants are seemingly going to trade for a wide receiver, and it feels like a good year to trade for a wide receiver because of all the positions in the NFL ahead of this trade deadline in a couple weeks. Boy, does it feel like the wide receiver market above anything else has boomed. So,
yeah, well, I think that is, Sean? There are so many that come into the league every single year
True.
That are just going to be good. Every year you're going to get three or four, maybe six good wide receivers that are going to be stars on whatever team they're on. And so it's, I don't want to say it's the easiest position to just acclimate into an NFL team. It's probably running back because it's just, if you're good, you're good. You know what I mean?
Right. You can pass protect.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But the receivers feel like every year there's five or six of them that are coming in and they're just, they get it right away. So if you have a guy who you're not really sure of that you drafted second, third, fourth round, whatever, or you got in free agency and he's, your team's not doing well, okay, see ya. We'll get another one next year.
Right.
So it's just the most, I don't know, plentiful of positions where you can find stars.
So the New York Giants are trading for a wide receiver?
That's what it feels like.
We're not sure whom. We did a list yesterday talking about it. We're not sure when. Obviously, it'll happen before the trade deadline, which is on November 4th. But the New York Giants and Joe Shane are priming themselves to trade for a wide receiver.
That's what it feels like.
And you want to know why they're going to trade for a wide receiver? It's twofold. I said yesterday I would do it, not just for this year, but for this year and next year. But I'm me. I'm Evan. I'm a guy sitting on sports talk radio. Joe Shane is doing it because he knows what I know, what you know, what Mr. Marin knows, what Sean knows, and what Dabo knows. They got to win games.
Yes.
And so I know that there are some Giant fans who say, forget this year. That's fool's gold. It's all about next year. To get to next year, this GM and head coach need a certain amount of wins.
True.
So there is an urgency in that front office.
I think who they go get is going to be is going to determine my reaction to it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So as any trade should.
Mm-hmm.
As any trade should. Whenever we talk about trades, we're going to do it a lot during the baseball offseason, it's always about the whom and the what.
Right.
You know, Tommy will famously tell you with the James Harden trade, who's in the deal? Like, that stuff matters. So it's the same thing. Who is the wide receiver you're getting? What are you giving up? What's the contract situation?
Right.
All of that will help dictate how we feel about it.
Speculation on that, Sean?
I mean, there's a lot of speculation. Jacoby Myers, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of still buzz building around Olave and Waddle. And, you know, Waddle, I can't remember. Somebody mentioned it first.
Well, they
I
feel like they're just going nowhere, Miami. Yeah.
So, who mentioned Jalen Waddle first, Tiki?
That
I forgot.
Was you. That was you, Evan. And an IFO.
Let me just say this to all the Giant beat reporters, and I hope they know this. When Jalen Waddle gets traded to the Giants, all I want to see on your tweet is, as first reported,
as first speculated by.
Yes.
Can I put everybody back in a transporter for a second?
Yeah.
Can I take you back to 1 week ago, the Evan and Tiki show at Yankee Stadium? Are the Yankees going to force a game five? Aaron Judge hit the home run. Oh, we're going to be an American dream tomorrow. Giants-Eagles are going to get smoked by the Eagles. Whatever. We'll do a lot of baseball that day.
Told you they would win.
It is a full week later. The Giants have beat the Eagles, and they're clearing cap space to be buyers at the deadline for a wide receiver.
What the hell is going on?
What the hell happened?
Lock and change in a couple of days, bro.
What happened?
Lock and change.
But you know what? That's the NFL.
Yeah.
It's why it's the most popular sport, because anything can happen. You have no idea.
Which is why this is a challenging discussion when we talk about our views on the Giants and if they've changed mm-hmm. or not. I try to stay grounded, but it's only 17 games, so it's
right.
tough to stay grounded when a game or two is basically the equivalent of 20 games in a baseball season. So I understand why one win would cause the Giant fan to say, I feel completely different about this team.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel the same.
It's also about who they beat and how they beat them.
Absolutely. I feel the same. Sunday would change everything.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to your calls.
Agreed.
888-808-1019. The number, Chris in Tinton Falls. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, man, what's cooking? Hey, Tiki, I have one guy that I would add to that group that you had earlier that I feel really confident in.
Go ahead.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Thibodeau, man, is playing
100%.
The best ball of his career, and Burns is as well, and I've got another point, but I think the one difference there, Abdul Carter, man.
Yeah.
He is making, even though he's not showing up in the stats, he's making everybody better.
Yeah.
No doubt. And
no,
Thibodeau
we saw that last week.
Stronger.
Yeah, he definitely, I mean, what did he do this all? I'm forgetting now. Boxing? No, not boxing. Wrestling. Didn't he wrestle? I think he wrestled this offseason. Now, I don't know how many of you guys wrestled. Not anybody in this room other than me.
No.
But I'm just talking about
listeners. Oh, we used to script it in the backyard.
I'm talking about real wrestling.
Oh, no.
Where you learn about leverage, but you also build this stupid strength when you wrestle. Like, you train to be a wrestler. And so it's helping him, obviously. But you mentioned Abdul Carter. He's still a rookie, so I'm not putting him in that category yet, but he shows up on the non-stat sheet in so many ways for this team. So I think Kayvon is in that on that list too.
I love when a caller can connect with another caller. Their opinion can be furthered with another opinion. Mm-hmm. And you're about to witness this because our last caller talked about how good Kayvon has been. Let's hear from Anthony in Toms River, New Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Abe. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Evan Tiki. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
Yeah, so it makes a lot of sense to try and trade for a wide receiver for the development of Jackson Dart, especially with Neighbors out. But Kayvon Thibodeau, you know, as much as I like the player, he's due for a max contract, and I kind of think it makes sense to trade him because you have so many pass rushers and young players on defense already, like Burns, and Dexter Lawrence has a big contract.
It's a very interesting point. Just so we know before you answer this, Kayvon Thibodeau has his fifth-year option, which has already been picked up for next year,
right,
in which he's due to make about $14 million. But then he is a free agent.
Right.
So even though they have him under control next year, they still have to pay him. And considering some of the other pieces they have, it's a fair question.
Well,
does that make sense, Deke?
Not really.
What?
Because it's not a fair question. One,
Anthony did not ask a fair question?
No, it is, but it isn't.
Okay.
Because when you talk about the fifth-year option, Kayvon Thibodeau has not made Pro Bowls.
Right.
And if you don't make two or three Pro Bowls, I forget what it is. I think it's two. Multiple Pro Bowls in your first 4 years, your fifth-year option is not exorbitant. It's not, you know, near the franchise tag. And so $14 million for Kayvon Thibodeau, the way that he's playing,
right,
is a steal.
But wouldn't that make it such a great value that you could use it in a trade discussion?
Yes.
Especially if your intention is not to lock him up long term.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But my part two of this is why you can't trade him. What they are doing, how Shane Bowen is utilizing those three guys in particular, and Dex as well, but Dex is always at a three technique or nose or whatever. But those pass rushers are so versatile in what they do, it's allowing every one of those guys to eat, right? Every one of those guys gets a one-on-one opportunity, and it's only because you have three good rushers. And sometimes you see Brian Burns standing up over the center. Sometimes you see Kayvon Thibodeau standing up over the center. Sometimes you see Abdul Carter standing up over the center. And you don't know what's happening. Are they dropping out, or are they rushing so that you're forcing all five of the offensive linemen to block man-to-man? And if you do that, one of those guys is winning. And especially if you start throwing in the twist in the games that they run. So I think if you lose Kayvon Thibodeau, who's taking his spot? Like, what other of your defensive edges is that good that he's going to allow your defense to be as dominant as it's been the last couple of games? The answer is nobody. I'm just telling you, because you look at there's nobody else that's going to do that. So I get why people are saying, get the value. I'm a baseball mind. Trade Kayvon Thibodeau.
It is very baseball-like.
It's so stupid to me, but because it doesn't work in football. Because you're cutting your nose off. You know what I mean? I don't think it makes sense. Because the Giants need those three guys to play at a ridiculously high level. Let the issue of, man, it's going to be hard to pay him, happen 2 years from now.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. Like, if you're concerned about signing him, you don't have to sign him now anyway.
Yes.
Because you have him signed for next year.
Right.
Or it's something you engage in during the offseason next year. Because, like you said with baseball, even though the NFL trade deadline has become more of a trade deadline, no doubt about it, the numbers are the numbers. There are more trades made now than there were 7 years ago. You still don't get a lot of that.
No.
You don't get a lot
of... No, you really don't.
Right. I mean, Champ Bailey for Clinton Portis. Remember that one?
Right.
That was an offseason one, but you get the point.
Can I remind everybody of the obvious? Kayvon Thibodeau, as long as he plays like this, is going to be locked up for a long time, whether that's 4 or 5 years. And why does that make sense? Guys, we forgot what this is like. When you hit on a quarterback in the draft, you get to operate those first 4 years without paying the quarterback $60 million a year, which frees up so much more. They're going to have $120 million in cap space in 2027. And oh, by the way, because they failed miserably on Evan Neal and Deontay Banks, you're not worried about signing those first-round picks. So it's almost unacceptable with their cap allocation not to have Kayvon Thibodeau here long-term.
That's a good point.
You know what this
discussion... I didn't
discussion,
think of it that way.
That's
the
good,
failed
good
Evan,
thought.
The Evan Neal and the Deontay Banks.
That's why he does two Giants podcasts.
That's right.
This whole discussion.
I just try not to think about Evan Neal or Deion.
That's a good idea.
But it comes into play because you don't have to pick between who you're going to sign.
Talking about Kayvon Thibodeau has reminded me of a blessing that we received. That I mean nothing personal by this, no harm, but I am so happy that Tom Thibodeau doesn't work here anymore. Because he added so much confusion to Kayvon's name.
That was so true.
And now that Tom Thibodeau is somewhere else, meandering around the NBA.
Tibbs without
Tibbs.
The H.
Thibodeau, Tibbs. It never made any sense. And now we've got a football player who's been here for a few years. Tom, if you're listening, enjoyed your work. You're a hell of a head coach. I'm so glad you're gone. Mm. The confusion just, doesn't it feel like it's gone away a little bit?
That sounds haterish.
I don't mean it that way. I like Tommy.
I know you don't.
Yeah.
But it sounds haterish.
I know. I like Tom. Now that he's not here anymore, I love him. He's my favorite non-active NBA head coach. Let's go to Sonny in Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, guys. Major problem, a few things with Evan. But first, a good Scatterbrook story. And a little bit with you, Tiki, too.
I love it.
Believe it or not. First, a really quick Scatterbrook story. I just got back from a cruise, and I was watching the Eagles-Giant game at the pub on the ship. And I'm an Eagle fan directly to my right, Eagle fan directly to my left. By the end of the game, guys, and you're not going to believe this, they both turned into Scatterbrook fans.
Oh, how can you not?
We were all yelling, Scatterbrook! But anyway, that's the effect he has on not just Giant fans, but I think everybody around the league.
He's a football player.
On social media.
He's a football player.
Anyway, Evan, two things. Number one, you said Giant fans are giving up on this year. Why sign a receiver? You're totally wrong. We're not giving up on this season, number one. Number two, the challenge in Denver, yes, it's going to be challenging with the thin air, the Denver defense. But don't forget, Denver's coming back from London. Giants have 11 days off. Number three, I don't understand. It's absurd that both of you guys, expectations have not changed from this team to what you've seen in the last 3 weeks. So if your expectation was that they were going to win five games, that's still your expectation. That is ludicrous. We went into the season looking at that schedule and saying you can't win this game, this game, this game, that game. Now we're saying you can win this game, that game. Not that they will, but they can.
Well, no, I think, Sonny,
the excitement and the confidence around this team,
Sonny,
off the charts. I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, guys, but the expectations have changed.
I think
you should know that.
I think, of course, they've changed internally. They've changed externally, probably multiples of that. But how it's really changed is that the Giants can win any game on their schedule. Doesn't matter. I don't care who the opponent is. The Giants can win any of the remaining, whatever it is, 14 games on their schedule.
Right.
So, no, it's not 14. How many games do they have left?
Well, they've played six. So what's a 17 minus
11? 11. The remaining 11 games. I was like, that doesn't sound right. The remaining 11 games, any of those 11, the Giants can win.
And they could also lose any game.
Well, yes.
But, which they proved 2 weeks
but
ago.
But at the beginning of the season,
yeah,
you were probably saying the Giants can win maybe two or three.
Okay, so I understand and respect and appreciate Sonny's passion. That's a passionate Giant fan who's like basically wanted to tell us.
They still have to do it.
They do have to do it.
That's my point.
He wanted to tell us, maybe more so me than you, because he respects you a lot more as a Giant legend, that I should go F myself. Like, basically, your expectations are the same?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't remember what I said at the beginning of the season. What did I say, seven?
I think you said seven.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Because I think I had the Jets at five.
I'm pretty sure you said seven.
You want me to go to the archives?
Yeah, we have to.
Am I the only archivist around here?
Yes.
I know I said 10 because I felt peer pressured, but I really meant 6.
Yeah, your 10 was a very fugazi one because you were peer pressured.
It was an inflated 10.
My point is, I looked at this team at the beginning of the year, and I remember saying this a few times. You are better than what you were in the previous year talent-wise, which you are. And I stand by that. That hasn't changed. But I thought that you're facing so many teams that are clearly better than you that you'll steal four or five games.
Yeah.
Now, you've gotten two of them with 11 to go. I still look at the final 11 games in which you will be underdogs in every game and say, yeah, you'll win three or four games. Well, do the math. That's five or six wins. And here's the beautiful part for Sonny and even for you who's getting offended. That's my freaking opinion on how I feel about the Giants. Can that change if they beat the Broncos? I admit it will. I admit I'll come in here hat in hand on Monday and say, boy, I think I got it wrong about this team. Dare I say they'll be in a playoff race? But as we sit here today, that's just how I view them. A more talented team than last year, but still a team that's going to have to punch up in just about every game they play. What is so offensive about that?
It's not offensive.
Thank you.
Evan, anybody who thought they were going to win five or six games also thought, hey, they got to split one of those first two with Dallas and Washington. Hey, they got to beat the New Orleans Saints. So
good point. You're right.
I'm riding sky high on beating the Eagles and the Chargers. But the Giants, we can't get back the games we already played. They've already lost games we expect them to win. So all that the two wins have done, not to do with the energy and everything, is make up for games we thought they were going to win that they didn't.
I'll borrow a phrase that you had. When they announced they were starting Jackson Dart, you basically said, it's reopening week.
Exactly.
It's all anew. So if we play that game right now, okay, they're 2-4, they just beat the Eagles, Dart's the starting quarterback. We also know Malik Nabers is out, right? We also have that piece of information. There are 11 games on this schedule. It's a new opening day, new prediction game. How many of those 11 games are they going to win? And I still look at those 11 games in which, again, they are going to be underdogs in all of them and say, maybe 3 or 4. And that's how you get to 5 or 6. Now, I'll ask you, Tiki, there's 11 games left.
Yeah.
We now have new information. No Malik Nabers. Jackson Dart is starting. Even new information about this defense and how you feel about it.
Yeah.
All right? We'll do it right now. October 15th. There's 11 games left to go in the season.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do in their final 11 games? Give me a number.
Half.
There's 11. It's an uneven number.
Round up. 5.5.
5-5-1?
No. 5.5. Loogie's right. Round up.
So 6-5.
Yes.
Make it enough, as they say on Friday.
Yep.
And I'm writing this down. This is long-term predictions, final 11 games here on 10-15-25. Okay. 6-5 for Tiki. I'll make mine official. I think they're going 3-8 in their final 11 games.
Hater.
You know, you guys are too much.
I'm just joking. Keep going.
Tommy Lugauer, in the final 11 games, what are the Giants going
to
do?
Okay, so I predicted them to win 6 games this year. I still think they win 6 games, so help me out with the math. They go 4-7.
7?
4-7. So 4-7 in the last 11.
I respect your consistency. You're like me. You're like, I'm going to get to the same number. I just have to do the math.
Correct.
Sean Morash, the man who cried, and I thought it was legitimate cries, after the Giants beat the Philadelphia Eagles. How many wins will they get in their final 11 games?
Tiki's inspired me. F it. 5-5-1.
Okay, who is the tie?
Raiders?
Oh, yeah.
No. Vikings?
The Dallas Cowboys in the final week of the year, because we should have tied them already.
Oh, at home.
That would be so weird. A week 18 tie?
That would be brutal.
And Dallas, you know why? Dallas gets their second tie of the year.
And it would be brutal because they'd have a better record than us.
Yeah.
If say it comes down to that. They'd have a better record than us.
Yeah. I respect you predicting the tie. That's good.
All right. I really wanted to say 4-70, but you know what? Let's have some fun.
And by the way, just so we can all do the math together, based on what's already happened in the first 6 games and then the predictions of the final 11, Tiki Barber is officially predicting the New York Giants to finish 8-9.
Yeah, which is not far from what I said at the beginning of the season.
Fair enough. I'm officially predicting them to finish 5-12.
Which is more than you said at the beginning of the season.
I think I said 4 or 5. It was in that range. I forget what I settled on, but it was 4 or 5. It was basically there. Tommy has them finishing 6-11.
We haven't really changed.
No, which I respect. And Sean has them. I'm about to call Tommy out in a second, but hold on.
I'm surprised.
Sean should. We'll get to him in a second.
Yeah.
And Sean has them finishing 7-9-1.
Yes. That's a good year. 7-9-1.
Now let's get in the corner and wait for a second, Tommy.
Tommy. I'll never forget Friday, American Dream, the crowd is there, and you gave us issues when we asked you to make a prediction because you said, I want to make two. I want to make one in which Russell Wilson is the guy, and one in which you get your way, and you were ahead of us, start Dart, right? Well, Dart's the starter, so you're sticking with your Russell Wilson prediction.
What was my Jackson Dart prediction?
11 wins!
Well, where is the producer telling me about this? I forgot I did that. I thought I only had one prediction, which got booed, by the way, 6 wins. I didn't. The producers did not tell me here, we have several of them, that I did a Jackson Dart prediction. So I have 11 wins?
9-2, that means.
All right, so let's put me down for 9-2 for the rest of the season. Thank you.
All right. So now we have Tommy down for 4-7 and 9-2.
Yes.
Once he was notified. But Jackson Dart's your guy. You told us to start Dart the entire year.
I totally forgot about the 11 wins. All right, but again, now we know. Thank you for reminding me. You should have reminded me beforehand. 9-2 the rest of the way.
I honestly didn't remember until like Tiki and I locked eyes and were like, wait a second. Something feels off about Tommy right now. I can't put my finger on it.
Because I remember the start Dart thing.
Yeah.
Remember, you weren't allowed to wear it.
And the best part is, so we have a wall here in the FAN studios where I like to honor certain things. So we have a beautiful picture of Tiki Barber running over the overrated Ryan Clark. We have a picture of a t-shirt that we made a year ago for Tommy, an old tweet that he had that
Taylor
was made
Brunson
into a shirt.
Is a good player. He's not great. This would be typical Knicks. Never ends. One shirts that I sold on the plaza outside
Barclays Center. Yeah, yeah.
We didn't do it in the city.
And earlier today, we finally installed the official Start Dart piece of paper that Tommy would wear on his chest.
Start Dart.
In the days leading up and months leading up to starting Jackson Dart. It was such a great message, Tommy forgot all about it.
Mm-hmm. Start Dart.
And this is not a Garrett Cole situation. That's the actual sign, that the original sign. It's not a Fugazi one. That's
there are
the
definitely enough wrinkles on the sign where it is very completely authentic. Legitimate. Let's go to Angelo calling from Long Island. What's up, Angelo?
Hey, guys. Huge fan of the show. I got two things to say. Number one, I feel like...
Oh, good. I got to let you go, but I understand your point.
He basically said everybody's going to say that the Giants beat a bad Eagles team who just have issues going on. They can't run the ball. Their offensive line's getting old. Yada, 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 whatnot. And then if they go out and they beat the Denver Broncos, people are going to say, oh, the Denver Broncos just came back from London and they got to get reacclimated to the altitude and they didn't take the bye week and blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. They're just going to make excuses for why the Giants are winning as opposed to giving the Giants credit.
I can't answer for every single person who has an opinion. I can answer for myself. And while I pissed off, what's his name again? Sonny and Malvern, mm-hmm. by being too negative on the Giants, and you may still think I am too negative on the Giants, I can promise you this. I didn't say a damn word trying to negate that victory over the Chargers. I didn't say a damn word negating that victory over the Eagles. Right. And I can promise you this, just for me, as someone who still doesn't believe in the Giants, I will not come in here on Monday and negate the victory because of the travel.
How could you?
This is football.
It's football, right. Everybody has circumstances that are not great.
Of course. It's football. Like, you win the games. I don't care how you do it. I don't care how it happens. You win the games. And if you beat the Chargers at home, which you did, and you spanked the Eagles at home, which you did, and now you go to Denver where it ain't easy to play football, and I don't care if they traveled from Antarctica, and you beat that team, that's a win. So if anyone tries to minimize that, you have two choices. You can just walk away, or you can verbally slap them. And by verbally slap them, don't actually slap them. That seems like a weird thing to do over sports. But verbally, tell them to go take a long
bunch
walk.
Bunch of bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. Yeah.
I also don't like the notion of, well, the Eagles, they were in shambles. The Eagles have been arguing with each other all year and winning those games.
Of course.
The Giants.
The Eagles are a good team.
Right. The Giants
They're just flawed. But everybody is flawed.
Everybody's flawed. But the Giants
beat them. The Bills are flawed.
Exactly. And I would argue.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have the most wins in the NFC, are flawed.
So perfect answer.
You know how many fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drives Baker Mayfield has?
Four.
Right. Because
they last drive of games, four of those games, the Bucs were losing and maybe could have lost. So it's just like, it's football these days.
Football. And the Giants are part of the reason they're in turmoil. It's not, you know what I mean? It works both ways.
Right.
You can't discount the Giant win. I won't stand for that. That was the win of the century. I'm not going to have it poo-pooed.
The win of the century.
Well, this century.
I mean, geez.
Maybe decade.
Whatever. How long's a century?
That'd be 25 years, dude. The turn of the century?
That would include several Super Bowls.
I was going to say, that includes a lot.
No, then not the win of the century.
Win of the decade? Yeah. You can't even say win of the decade.
He's confusing his multiples of 10.
But even if he goes win of the decade, like you won a playoff game on the road.
Yeah, that was pre-Brian Flores Vikings. This is different now.
The
Super Bowl champs.
You can't do that. We'll get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.